to join our American family Robinson again in Centerville. Peace has descended on Centerville and Editor Luke. The Herald is again a going concern after having been threatened with bankruptcy. And an even worse disaster was avoided when Miss Timmons refused to furnish financial backing for Windy Bill's political career. And his campaign as mayor came to an untimely end. And now we find Dick Collins lending an unwilling ear to Windy's discourse on the ingratitude of women.
Oh, and to think, after all I've done for her, after having given her the best years of my life, after bestowing upon her an honorable offer of marriage and a name which has stood second to none in the roster of this country, oldest and finest, the name of Winkle.
Look, Windy, I've got work to do. Some other time you can
but
tell
Dick,
me.
Think what this means. Aside from the blow to my honor, the creature has allowed herself to be swayed by Luke's insane prejudice against myself and the consideration of a few paltry thousands of dollars to, well, anyhow, she has blighted my future. And I would have been a good man.
I know. It's very tough, Windy, and I'm terribly sorry and all that. But right now I've got an appointment. I've got to interview Mrs. Vandeventer on her recent election as president of the Centerville Women's Club. And it'll take her all afternoon to tell me how she triumphed over Mrs. Beasley. Of course, if there were anything I could do, Windy, I'd be only too glad. But I'm afraid it's a lost cause, and politics are just not in your line.
But there is something you can do, Dickie, my boy. Now just step over here where we won't be overheard. I've got a proposition.
No, Windy. No, absolutely not.
But, Dickie, you haven't even heard it.
I don't have to hear it. Whatever it is, no.
Now, look, Dick. I will admit that in the past I have advanced some ideas that may not have been exactly sound, but at least you have to give a man credit for having ideas.
All right, I give you credit for having ideas, even if they're not worth listening to.
But you can't tell, Dickie. This one might be. It stands to reason some of them would be good. The law of averages, you know. And it won't hurt you just to listen.
Has this idea got anything to do with you doing some work? I mean, some good, honest work at which you can earn a living?
That's just it. That's it exactly. It's a way for me to earn a living.
Honestly?
Why, of course, honestly. Do you think that I would stoop to chicanery? Do I look like a man who would indulge in sharp practice?
Well, if it's legal and provides for you earning an honest penny, I'll listen.
You'll never be sorry.
But I warn you, I'll give you just 3 minutes, no more.
That'll be ample, ample. Now, this idea is simplicity itself, and there's plenty in it for anyone who wants to get in on the ground floor. For you, Dick.
Are you trying to sell me something?
No. Now, don't interrupt. All we have to do is to raise a little money. Why, you could do that. You and Betty must have a little something laid by.
Come on. Get to the point. What's this going to be, the proverbial gold brick or some new method of converting ordinary hard coal into diamonds?
Neither, my boy, neither. This is absolutely safe, tried and true, and involves a principle upon which human nature itself is based.
2 minutes are up, and I haven't heard anything about you working yet.
Oh, but you keep on interrupting, Dick. Now it's not fair. My idea is simply this, to start a new party. Elect me on an independent ticket. Well, we'll call the party the Sociological Economical Reform and Golden Age Reincarnationist Party. And you could be the treasurer.
Now, just a minute, Windy. Do I understand you? Have you still got the idea that you're going to run for mayor?
Well, you said my idea had to involve going to work, didn't you? And I'm willing to go to work. I'll be the hardest working mayor this town has ever...
Windy, the 3 minutes are up, and I'm on my way.
Well, what do you think of the idea?
I think it's by far the worst one you've had yet. You must be getting old, Windy, or maybe you're losing your grip. Your ideas used to have a faint but distinct resemblance to something approaching sanity.
But now, Dick, you can't just walk off. Can't you at least give me a little constructive criticism? I am willing to listen to any suggestions.
Well, there are only two objections to that idea that I can think of at the moment. One is you personally, and the other is your principal. Either one would be fatal to Centerville, and together, they'd be enough to put this town so far into the red that it'd take another Moses to lead us out of it.
Oh, but I can fix that, Dickie. As far as I personally am concerned, I'll be anything you say. Why, I'll be putty in your hand. And as for principle, I'll adopt any principle you think suitable. Although I must say I can't see anything wrong with the ones I've got.
Oh, everything's wrong. All that golden age utopia stuff is fine to impress the gullible with. But what you're trying to do is to promise them the rewards of hard work without the work. And it just can't be done. You know, the trouble with those gilded promises is that you can't keep them. Nobody could. You see, oh, what's the use? I should have learned better by this time than to try to point out to you how unsound your theories are.
Well, I know that you don't agree with me on a great many points in my theory of how things should be run in this country. But that doesn't mean that we couldn't work together, Dickie. Work out a compromise of some kind. I'm not at all stubborn about my views, and if you won't consider backing my campaign on account of my platform, I'm perfectly willing to change over to your platform. It doesn't make any difference to me what I stand for.
Oh, the idea is you want to be a stuffed shirt, and you're not particular what you're stuffed with, is that it?
Now, that's putting it rather crudely, but I'll frankly admit, Dick, you're my last chance, and I'm willing to make any sacrifice at all.
All right, then. Sacrifice the whole idea. That'd make everybody happy. You could be a martyr, and I could have the satisfaction of having saved Centerville.
No, wait, Dick, don't go. You're a more than ordinarily intelligent young man, and you have some very sound ideas. Of course, I don't understand them myself. They seem to differ a good deal from the current fashion in political thinking. But don't you owe it to yourself to get these ideas of yours over to the public? You owe it to the public, too. And here's your chance to...
To make you the mouthpiece for sound thinking? It's hardly likely. But thanks for crediting me with intelligence. Even coming from you, that's a pleasant compliment.
But of course you're an intelligent young man. Why, you're a brilliant young man. But you don't want all these constructive ideas to be buried under a bushel, to be lost to posterity. You want them to become known and accepted, don't you?
Well, I don't think it'd do the public any harm to consider a practical, time-tested program for recovery.
Now, suppose it were up to you to formulate a program. What, for instance, would you recommend?
Well, in the first place, I'd base my platform on the fact that the true abundant life can be supported only by an abundant production of the things that enrich the lives of all. We're aiming at a distribution of the comforts of life to everyone. We want every family to enjoy all the material improvements that science and industry have made possible.
Yes, very good.
Products cannot be produced cheaply as long as industry is saddled with an unfair burden of taxation arising out of an overpowering national debt. Industry cannot play its part in the distribution of products as long as it's faced with the fear of inflation, new hostile legislation, and most of all, the fear of a change in our present form of government, under which we have become the most prosperous nation on earth.
But my dear boy, that's marvelous. Why, I'd be more than willing to stand for those principles. And I'll admit that they would appeal more to the thinking man than those I advocated. Now, all you have to do...
is put up the money, and you'll lend the support of your silver tongue and high-pressure salesmanship to my platform for recovery. Nothing doing. That platform is for thinking people. No soapbox orators need apply. And anyway, Wendy, I should have told you before you got your hopes up, I haven't got any money.
Huh? Not any money?
Not any. And if I had any, I'd rather buy the Brooklyn Bridge with it than...
Hey, Dick, have you seen it?
Seen what, Bob? What's the excitement?
Well, the paper. Good night. Don't you even read your own paper?
Oh, what is it? Has that printer messed up my front page story? If he hasn't...
No. Are you an orphan?
Well, yes, but
well,
why?
But you had some kind of relatives, didn't you? I mean, ancestors and stuff like that?
Well, it's safe to assume that I did, but I don't know much of anything about them.
Well, you'd a better darn sight find out about them.
What's this all about, Bob? Is somebody trying to sue Dick?
Sue? Oh, gosh. Hey, that might be it. Hey, maybe that's why they're looking for him. I thought it might be something good.
What is it, Bob? And how do you know it's about my relatives?
Oh, of course it's your relatives. It's any Collins' relatives. Any that live around here. Look, here it is. Here in the persons. Collins. All possible heirs of John Collins, born 1640, died 1710. Communicates with Box X, Chicago Daily Register, and learns something to your advantage. Well, I mean to say, Dick, a guy who lived that long ago, practically any Collins would be one of his heirs by now.
Hey, let me see that. Say, that is a strange thing, isn't it? Oh, but Collins is such a common name, it'd be almost impossible to prove that I was a descendant of this particular one.
Impossible? Why, of course it's not impossible. Dick, do you realize what this means? Why, that man might have left an estate worth billions and millions. Why, you might be a rich man, Dick, and not know it. And you were just talking about not having any money. That's what I call coincidence. Why, Dick, my boy, old fellow, you can probably support any number of political campaigns.
Don't be crazy. Even if this ancient John Collins was a multi-billionaire in his day, there'd be so many claimants by now that one share would probably amount to a postage stamp.
Now, I wouldn't be too sure about that. Why, I've heard plenty of stories of estates that remained unsettled for years and years. And all that time, they were building up interest and growing in value.
Gee, Dick, this might be one like that. Maybe this guy owned the entire city of Chicago or something.
Yeah, of course it's possible. It's probable. In fact, I'm positive that's just what it is. Why, a lot of the titles to some of the most valuable property in this country are clouded, to say the least. Now, look here, Dick. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll undertake to search the genealogical records and establish your line of descent from this man for, let's be fair on this thing. Let's say 35% of what you get out of it. I'll write a letter to this box X right away.
Oh, you'll do nothing of the kind. I haven't any intention of writing a letter. It's too silly. Why?
You're not going to write the letter. Do you mean that you're going to let a fortune slip through your fingers? And my fingers, too. By George, just because you don't want to write a letter?
I don't want to make a fool of myself. It'd be just a waste of time, I tell you.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a waste of time if you turned out to be a millionaire, would it? And how do you know but what you might be? You said yourself you didn't know much about your relatives, and you might be the direct heir of this old guy. Maybe the only one who's entitled to the estate.
In other words, you're willing to pass up a chance to own the entire city of Chicago just because you feel shy about writing a perfectly simple letter asking for further information.
Who says I'd own the city of Chicago? The ad doesn't say anything about that.
Well, you can't prove that old John Collins didn't own the entire city of Chicago, can you?
Of course not. I never even heard of him.
Well, then.
Yeah, and think what you could do with the money, Dick. Why, you could use a little money, couldn't you?
I'll say I could. Oh, listen, will you two come down to Earth? You've got me dizzy.
Well, look, Dick, suppose you could, just with a stroke of the pen, write out a check for limousine, a chauffeur, your fare to Florida for the winter, an ermine coat for Betty. That'd be worth writing a letter for, wouldn't it?
Oh, Bob, you'll never be a real newspaper man. You're a fish. These things never happen in real life.
Why, of course they do. They often happen. How about people who find oil in their backyards and bet 100-1 shots and win and find pearls and oysters? Why, there are hundreds of cases which are a matter of record.
Yeah, but those things don't happen to me.
Why, you're just the type of person that they do happen to. A poor orphan. Made your own way in the world. Worked hard all your life for a modest remuneration. That's just the kind of person who does fall into things like that. As a newspaper man, why, you ought to know that it's the people who don't believe in their luck who get on the front page with sudden fortunes. Why, you've read hundreds of interviews, and they all begin, "I couldn't believe it when I heard the news."
Say, that's right. It is always some ordinary, everyday kind of guy like me who falls into Lucky Monday.
Why, there! I knew you'd see the light. Quick, Bob, get a letterhead and put it in the typewriter. I'll dictate the letter.
Hey, now, wait a minute. I didn't say I'd do it.
Well, you can't back out now. It's almost done. It's practically in the mail. Go ahead, Uncle Windy. How should it begin?
Yes. Gentlemen. No. Dear sir. Oh, confound it. Which should it be?
Now, listen. If you insist on making me a sucker for this game, whatever it is, you've got to promise to keep it to yourself. Nobody but us three is going to know about it, or else the whole thing is off.
Sure. It's okay for me.
Of course. That's much the best. Once a thing like this gets noised about, you will be swamped by unprincipled persons trying to get your money away from you. Now, let's get on with it, Bob. What have you got there?
Nothing yet. You were trying to make up your mind.
Yes. Well, just started off. To whom it may concern. Why, that ought to cover the situation, whatever it is. In re, you're...
Wendy, be quiet. Do you want everybody to hear you? I said I didn't want anybody to know. Not even Betty, do you understand?
Oh, yes, of course. On no account, Betty. A very wise decision. In re, your ad.
And so there's a conspiracy afoot to establish Dick as heir to some highly problematical millions. And it's to be a deep, dark secret from everybody, even Betty. What will be the result of Wendy's letter on Dick's behalf? Well, join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.